is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello again. Tex Mars here, and so good to be with you here to worship the Lord each week on Bible Home Church. Well, before we begin, I've got some tremendous letters to read to you. I always appreciate hearing from our good friends out throughout the United States. Many of you now have joined and become members of Bible Home Church. And I believe that a few of these letters I'm going to read to you now will give you an indication why so many people are discovering the power of home churches, of home churches. Now, Bible Home Church, of course, is a home church, and we hope you will affiliate with us. Of course, you're already affiliated if you know Jesus, because the family of God is one. We are united under Christ, but we'd love for you to become a member of this great cause. You don't have to be a member, of course, to listen to the program, but we hope you will join with us, and we hope that the Holy Spirit will inspire you to give to this ministry, because we need your help so very much, and we need your prayers. Well, received a letter from a gentleman in Corunna, Michigan. In fact, I'm sorry, I said a gentleman. This is Sister Bonnie from Corunna, Michigan. Excuse me, Sister Bonnie. I have another letter here from another gentleman. But this is from Sister Bonnie, and I wanted to read it to you because I believe it captures the things that are going on in many communities across America, and the reason why home churches, just as the early Christian church used home churches, why this is so valuable and needed today. Bonnie writes, "Dear Tex, I read with a great deal of interest your starting Bible Home Church. In my area, 4 church schools have closed just this past year. One church lost their pastor for misconduct, another for his walking out during a service because of the unchristian practices of their only, quote-unquote, children's teacher, and one church closed for lack of members. Another is closing soon. Still, we have approximately 125 churches in our county. In the past several months, I have talked to 6 people," Bonnie writes, "that have left their churches and do not know where to go. So they stay home. Some just watch TV church for their church time. Over the past several years," says Bonnie, "I have seen pastors wearing earrings, telling dirty jokes, talking about pornographic programs that they watch on TV as if they are okay to watch, and then they give what they think is, quote, a good Christian message. I have talked to 2 pastors in this area that hotly defended their right to see R-rated movies, who took their youth group to see these R-rated movies, and even included viewing of movies like Rambo in their Sunday sermon. Several of these pastors do use the King James, but then they add, quote, a better translation is this or that, end quote. I have also attended 3 weddings where the word charity, which means Christ-like love, is replaced with just love and used for carnal love. Several pastors of churches here have left because of adultery with church school teachers or even church secretaries. One church lost their woman pastor because her husband gave her a choice of either leaving the ministry or getting a divorce. She chose a divorce and continued preaching, but the church started to fall apart, so she left it. Some of the sermons, texts coming from many of these new pastors are unbelievable. One pastor peppered his sermon with swearing. Another joked about his stepchild getting a tattoo that is the name of his bride-to-be. Another pastor sits on the sex education board of the public school and defends their choices of very explicit sex materials for seventh graders, even pornographic cartoons. One church, boy, I tell you, Bonnie, you're giving me a lot here in this one letter, but I'm going to continue. One church here allowed the reception dinner dance in their multi-room after the wedding was conducted. We left when the music started with "I'm Too Sexy for blank, blank, blank." The list goes on. For us, we have church at home. It is a very poor church, as there are only my husband, myself, and two of our children. We do not have a church building, just our home. But we pray, listen to tapes, some of them yours, and then do some Bible reading. We do need structure. Please send any help that you can. And then she goes on to ask for prayer. You know, I believe Bonnie's telling the truth. Now, that's just in one area what's going on. What's going on in your area? You know, several years ago, a concerned Southern Baptist layman decided to check up on Southern Baptist pastors. You see, they were having the Southern Baptist Convention in the city of Nashville, Tennessee. Now, there they had thousands of Southern Baptist pastors. Now, that's the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. And they had descended on the city of Nashville for their annual messengers meeting, as they call it, or convention. Thousands of pastors. Now, this particular gentleman decided to check up on them. Now, I'm not saying it was right or wrong that he do so. But I know this, he got the facts on them. You see, he went to the convention hotel where many, many hundreds were staying. And somehow he persuaded the hotel to give him some statistics on the kind of pay-per-view television programs the pastors watched in their hotel rooms. Now, I want you to understand, these pastors were, many of them were away from home. They're away from their home church. There they were in Nashville, taking care of God's business, supposedly. All there, they were going to vote on the president of the Southern Baptist Convention and such. And this particular Christian gentleman asked the hotel to give him a list of the pay-per-view channels in the rooms of the pastors, what they watched. What were the TV programs they watched? Did you know that over 97% of the pastors, within 30 minutes of returning from the convention each night, went right to their television set in their hotel rooms and viewed an X-rated movie? X-rated movie? Now, folks, if you get Cinemax and HBO and Showtime and all those other show channels on your cable TVs, I don't, as far as I know, they don't even show X-rated movies. X-rated is the most perverted and degraded type of, I mean, this is, we're talking about Larry Flint and Hustler magazine. I mean, it goes beyond Playboy and those others, soft core, I guess they call it. I don't really understand why they call anything soft and some hardcore porn, but they do. What I'm trying to say is, these pastors were charging to their churches the expenses that they had. And so their churches were paying for them to watch X-rated pornographic movies in those hotel rooms. Over 90% of the pastors watched X-rated movies in their hotel rooms. Now you see why Freemasonry, the Masonic Lodge, is so heavily entrenched in the Southern Baptist Convention. You see why when I was invited a number of years ago to go speak to an association of Southern Baptist Conventions, when I began to preach to them and I got really hard in my preaching, they got so mad. One man actually stood up, a preacher right there in the room, and started screaming and hollering at me. A bunch of other rest of them, they all started jumping up and screaming and hollering, and they were all got. In fact, they got mad at the program chairman for ever inviting me. They told me I was never welcome back again. That's a true story. You can call up the Central Texas Association of Southern Baptist Churches. There they were in this big room. It was some kind of a luncheon, and I was going to talk to them about the New Age movement. But when I began giving them evidence that the New Age movement and witchcraft had invaded Southern Baptist churches, they got so mad they didn't want to hear me anymore. They got so angry, they were furious. Tell you, I sure felt a little bit like Jesus about then. I wonder what he felt like when those evil rabbis confronted him in the temple. And there I was in the lion's den, and these Southern Baptist pastors were attacking me left and right. So I just faced them down and told them I had 2 more minutes of preaching. See, they had taken all they could. All they had 2 minutes left of my sermon. And I said, I've got 2 more minutes of preaching to do, and I'm going to finish my sermon today. I was invited here. I've taken time out for my schedule, and I've still got about 2 more minutes, and you can either sit down or you can leave, but I'm not leaving this podium and this microphone, I told them. I got 2 more minutes to go. And I just proceeded to preach. Well, almost all of them stomped out of the room, didn't even listen to me. I want to give credit, though, to 4 of them. 4 pastors stayed behind. Everybody stomped out. Nobody even thanked me for coming. Except these 4 pastors. Out of the whole group, I stayed right there at that pulpit even after I finished speaking. I stood right there. And they all left except 4 pastors. And then after everybody had left, these 4, I don't know whether they knew each other or what, but they all came up to me. And they said, Brother Tex, we want to apologize for our Southern Baptist brethren. What they did to you was terrible. But the fact is, these men are simply lukewarm. These men have lost their calling, Tex. And then these 4 pastors, these brethren, invited me to go out and have coffee with them. And we went out to, I think it was a Denny's restaurant in Round Rock, Texas, out of Austin. And we sat down and we talked for all 2 or 3 hours about the state. You know, the unhealthiness of the Southern Baptist Convention. And those churches. And these 4 young pastors, they were mainly young. I don't think one of them was over 45, but they were on fire for Jesus. And they wanted to change the lukewarm liberal teachings that are now so prevalent in the Southern Baptist Convention. And one of them said to me, said, Tex, I hope you don't feel bad about what happened. Says, you know the big fat pastor that stood up and started screaming and hollering at you? I said, yeah. The first one, you know. I said, yes. They said, he's a preacher down in central Austin. He's got a fairly large church in Austin, Texas. But you know what? In the last year, it was reported that over the last most recent 12-month period, not one person went forward to be saved or was baptized in that church in the entire 12 months. Now, Austin's a city that's growing by about 10% a year. New people coming into Austin, Texas. One of the most booming cities in America. And they said not one soul has been saved in that pastor's church. Not one person has even been baptized in that church in the last year. A whole year has gone by. They said that preacher is dead to God's word. And that's why you made him so mad. It wasn't him speaking, Tex Mars, it was the devil. And you know, I understood. That's the way the devil is. He seeks to destroy the truth. Well, we're going to keep preaching the truth here on Bible Home Church. And no matter what happens, no matter how many stand up and holler at us and scream at us and stomp out, we're going to be right here. And right now, we're going to have a wonderful message and music. You know, I didn't know much about this album. My precious wife, she ordered this album from the Gaithers. And it's Terry Bradshaw. You know, the NFL football commentator. I sort of like him. He has quite a sparkling personality. It's sort of humorous, and he's with Jake Hess. Oh, he's an old gospel favorite of mine, too. wonderful Southern gospel singer, and they teamed up together and did an album, and my wife was playing that in the car, and I didn't even know it was in, and she ran into the supermarket, and she said, "You park outside and wait for me. I just got to go get a loaf of bread and some milk or something." So I said, "Okay," and I was there in the parking lot, and while I was waiting for her, I said, "Well, I'll just turn on the radio." I noticed she had a CD in, and I pushed that CD, and I'm telling you, it was the most beautiful music came out of that. And she came out of the store then. I said, "Wanda, who's that singing those beautiful songs?" She says, "That's Terry Bradshaw of JKS." I said, "You got to be kidding." She says, "No, remember I told you about that album?" I said, "Well, yeah. I didn't know that Terry Bradshaw, I knew he could play football. I mean, he has about 3 Super Bowl gold rings or whatever they call those things, rings. But all pro so many times in football, but I had no idea he can sing." She's, "Oh, yes, he believes in Jesus. He's a believer." I said, "Well, praise God." Well, here's a song from Terry Bradshaw and Jake Hess. I think it'll be a blessing to you. And then the short time we've got remaining today, we'll be continuing our series on those other Jesuses, those false Jesuses we're exposing. But first, Brother Terry Bradshaw and Jake Hess.
Just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Jesus, the mere mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, and raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put back into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness. Arguments cease. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever. And I've watched that little body grow quiet and the fevered brow cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper her sweetest name, Jesus, Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy, philosophies have tried to stamp it out, tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it, yet still it stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall raise in one great mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ah, so you see, it was not mere chance that caused the angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, there is something about that name.
Peace and kingdom will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Let's look at some of these Jesuses. First of all, there is the Jesus who has written a sex manual. I have a copy of it, in fact. It's entitled A Spiritual Sex Manual, and it's published by a group that calls itself the Christ Foundation. They're from up in Washington State. I read the book. It's pretty disgusting, but there's some parts of it that sound pretty nice. It has beautiful prose and messages of love and peace and wholeness. It's an expensive and spectacularly produced book. It has romantically pink cover on it. Beautiful illustrations of roses are found in the book. And this is the startling news. The publisher claims that the book was personally written by Jesus himself. Why, it even has his signature. Yes, his signature is John Hancock, except it says Jesus is in the book. Well, in this A Spiritual Sex Manual, this Jesus gives a glowing and approving account of his sexual affair with Mary Magdalene. Sounds a lot like the Martin Scorsese movie, The Last Temptation of Christ, doesn't it? There we have another Christ as well. Jesus says that he and Mary had to slip away from the disciples into the fields outside of Jerusalem for privacy. And then he goes on to detail various sex rituals and acts, and he recommends them to the reader. He says you can master these same sex acts for physical enjoyment and spiritual growth. Now, in between talking about sex, sort of the joy of sex approach, this Jesus talks vaguely about, quote, God's plan for the salvation of the world. He seems to be a wonderful teacher who simply wants men and women to enjoy sex as a loving and holy act in or out of marriage. And you know, it struck me that this book is preposterous, this sex manual by Jesus, so-called. But if a person has never discovered the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Holy Bible, he or she could well be suckered in by this sex instructor imitation. The interesting thing about this book is that it tells people that they can have unity and diversity, and that Jesus says you can believe in about anything. Of course, that's a hideous distortion of the truth. Naturally, though, I'm considered very legalistic, very old-fashioned. I, however, my friends, believe in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, where it says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, ye might well bear with him." And Galatians 1, verse 7 says, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So we see there is another Jesus, and I'm not surprised at all by this sex manual Jesus. Well, there's another Jesus out there. He just calls himself the Christ Consciousness. In a book entitled The Book of Co-Creation, Barbara Marx Hubbard, an influential New Age leader, talks about this Jesus. She says Jesus the Christ came to her in a vision. And according to Hubbard, this Jesus gave her good news. He said because of the success of the New Age movement, Armageddon will not be necessary. Isn't that good news, friends? Bible prophecy is superseded, it's outdated. And now, because of the New Age movement having success in the world, Armageddon will not be necessary. However, Hubbard says many still will die, millions, even billions perhaps, because we're going into a new paradigm shift. And this is right on schedule. The second coming of Christ will be when man realizes he is himself divine.
When people accept the Christ consciousness and become collectively the Christ of this planet, then there will be a paradigm shift, but millions and millions will probably be lost and go off into some other dimension because they refuse to accept this gift of the Christ consciousness. She says the pale horse rider will come. The spirits will come and take away those who do not believe in the New Age consciousness. How does Barbara Hubbard know this? Jesus the Christ told her. Well, of course, the Bible says something totally different, and the Bible says that God's Word is pure. There's no errors. Well, evidently, this new Jesus says a different story than we find in God's Word. I think where we know, that we as Christians know exactly where to put this Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor continues this series entitled The Millionaire from Nazareth and 1001 Other False Jesuses.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.